Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Women in Trades podcast. This is our fourth and final podcast, so we'll get right into it. I'm Sydney, and we also have Haley over here.
I'm Sam.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Kelly.
And yeah, we are the Women in Trades podcast. So, how was everyone's trek to school today?
Fun.
Dramatic.
Dramatic.
It's pretty bad out there.
Yeah, there's always a storm in March, and I feel like everyone, like, it's always terrible. It's always really bad.
And it's like right when we were getting into the it was, everything was melting and you could see some grass, even though it was brown, but I mean, it was there, and now it's just the 4 feet of snow. And
oh, it's so depressing. It feels like such a setback.
Well, Sydney, you're asking us, but I think you should be the one telling us about your trek to school.
Yeah, so, you know, you think it's going to be fine because, I mean, I got here in okay time with like 35 minutes before class to spare, and then I get stuck in the freaking parking lot. Yeah, so that was, I pulled in and you could see, there must have been some cars that came in early in the morning. Like, I don't know, it was bad, but the snow was already starting to pile up around these cars that were already there, and there were tons of these, like, I don't know what you call it, like, ruts, I guess, yeah, from people trying to drive. So yeah, I thought I was gonna make it, and then I got stuck, and I was blocking like three different cars because I was in the middle of the driveway, not the parking stalls. So yeah, so my boyfriend had to come and dig me out, and then a couple other people came into the lot and got stuck, and then they came to help me, and then we helped them.
Oh my word. So
yeah, and then came and, you know, hit that deadline for the assignment. It was kind of stressful, but whatever, kind of an adventure when you look back at it. It's like, oh, we'll laugh about this later. But
that's good you had people helping you, because like, yeah, I was having such a like morally tough morning because I was driving past all these people that were stuck and I wanted to help them, but I also knew that if I stopped that I would get stuck. So I'm just like zipping past these people that are stuck. I'm like, I am such a jerk, but like, I can do nothing for them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone in Winnipeg's just going through that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I was saying to you guys earlier, there was those two buses both stuck in the snow on the exact same street.
Oh, man.
And then they had a bus come relieve the one bus, and then it couldn't go around the stuck bus. So I drove by, and I felt so bad, but...
What street was that on?
I don't know, somewhere on the way to school. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Yeah, my dad drove me this morning. He was just like, your car can't make it, so I'm going to drive you. And I was like, all right.
I wish.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, it was lucky because, like, he works construction, so he couldn't go to work because the snow was everywhere and it's not going to stop. So he was just like, yeah, I'll drive you. So I have my own chauffeur.
We should be used to this, you know, like living in Winnipeg, but I feel like it's just, although the trees look nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. I wanted to go take pictures of them after it is class. Pretty.
Wolseley was beautiful.
Yeah. I'm sure. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wolseley's beautiful all the time.
Yeah. I feel like I some ways am used to it though, because I have like a snowstorm routine.
Let's hear this.
Well, no. It's not really like a routine, but like I have like my driving thing that I do. Like when a big snowstorm hits, like I get in my car and I crank the music, like no matter what, because I'm like, okay, we're gonna just like truck our way through this. And I always crank like the hardest beats I can find. You know what I mean? And then it's kind of like, okay, like I'm gonna be in the car for a while. I may as well enjoy this. You know? I don't know. I don't know if anybody else does that. I feel like it just numbs your mind to the fact that you're going 20, 30 kilometers an hour. And like,
very true.
Yeah.
No, I try and remember to put a shovel in the car.
I had one today, actually.
Yeah. I didn't bring one today.
A mini one. Well, it's actually been in my trunk just like since I got it, but they do come in handy.
But then it's like if I get stuck, I do not want to go back and shovel myself out. That sucks.
Did anyone have like a mountain of snow on their car this morning though?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, my dad like cleared it off when he left for work this morning, and then he came
back.
Your dad
sounds amazing.
He's great. He also gets us Tim Hortons every Saturday morning.
Oh my gosh.
And it's always sitting on the counter waiting for us when we wake up.
Oh my gosh.
That's so nice. I mean, yeah, he's great. But he like cleared off my car, and then he came back 3 hours later and it was completely piled up again. Like he had not done anything to it. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I hope it stops, because if it snows consistently all afternoon, I'm probably not going to be able to get out.
We might be stuck here. We can here camp out here, forever. Sydney, because I'm probably not going anywhere all night.
Sydney's my just dad like, can I drive you guys all here home
today. We're going to sleep in the radio room. Got a sleeping bag in my car.
Oh, man.
All night radio podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, Sydney, shall we get into our topic?
Yeah, and I know Haley had some stuff prepared, because what was on last night?
Oh, so the Oscars were on last night, and this goes with our previous podcast where we talk about what the women did at previous award shows, like the Grammys. So at first mm-hmm. they wore black, and then they brought white roses. So this time I was anxious to see what they were going to do, and actually they didn't do anything.
And this was for like the Me Too movement stuff, right?
Yeah. Previously? Like, yeah. Me Too and like gender equality and all that stuff. There was a bunch of different organizations between the two, and I just don't remember them all, but I think mostly Me Too. So they didn't do anything, but there was still lots of like power women doing speeches and stuff. So the first one was Frances McDormand. I might be saying that wrong. Did anyone see Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri? That's the name of the movie.
Yeah, I did see it. Yeah.
I saw it too.
That's the name of the movie?
Yeah.
It's Three Billboards
outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Ebbing, Missouri.
Whoa. I was called it Three Billboards, but...
Was it any good?
Yeah, it was different. I liked it.
Oh, wait.
What'd you think?
Never mind. I didn't really watch it. Like, 5 minutes in, I fell asleep. But it was because I was exhausted. It wasn't because I didn't enjoy it.
It's actually a really good movie. It's really quirky and, like, different. It's not, like, your average, you know, action.
Like, I really like the main character. She was just, like, a boss ass.
That she won for best female actor.
There we go.
That's why I'm bringing this up. So she won. Yeah, she was... The movie is cool. It's about her daughter got killed, and they stopped looking for the murderer, and she was like raped. And, I mean, that's not fun, but the movie is kind of funny. It's like a dark comedy.
Yeah, so it totally is.
Really interesting. And like, so she won, and during her speech, she made all of the women in the room stand up.
If I may be so honored to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. The actors, Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will, come on. The filmmakers, the producers, the directors, the writers, the cinematographer, the composers, the songwriters, the designers, come on.
The thing that was kind of weird was all the guys just sat there and like looked up at them.
Did they clap along? Did they clap along?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
Like, it wasn't that weird, but
like, were they choosing to do that because they felt uncomfortable, because they were told not to stand, that they were told that this was like women clapping for women? Or do you think that it was weird because they didn't stand up regardless, like that they should have?
No, I don't think they should have stood, because like, I mean, she told only the women to stand, and if the men stood, it'd probably be weird. It just, like, I feel like, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think that that's putting the men in a little bit of an awkward situation, because maybe not. Like, I understand what they're saying. Like, yeah, women need to support other women. We shouldn't be, like, tearing each other down or be, you know, like, jealous or... Like, yeah, women should definitely be supporting other women, but why can't men be a part of that support, you know?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's true, but I guess you just wanted to make just highlight, wanted to showcase, so, like, how many people were nominated too, right? Because I know they play the clips of the movies and usually, like, you know, say the names and stuff, but I guess she just wanted to recognize everyone there and all the talent and stuff. But
yeah, I think it's cool.
And
yeah,
she's, like, all over the news today for this. For that speech, so you guys can go check it out.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way. People really liked it.
That's good.
And I liked it too. I just was, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at it from the other way, you know, the men might be like, but.
And then the other women empowerment movement, well, it wasn't a movement, but so what's her name? Greta Gerwig was nominated for Best Director for Lady Bird, and she was only the fifth women ever to be nominated for this. And this is the 90th Oscars.
And that was her first film, too, that she's ever made.
So cool.
Have you guys seen that movie?
No, I want to, though. No, my mom saw it. Yeah. So she was the fifth woman to be recognized by the Film Academy's director branch. But that's, the fifth woman is not a lot. So we need more female directors.
Hmm. I'm going to be one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Just kidding. I'm not sure.
Hey, it's possible,
though. But I agree. I think that there needs to be more women behind big films and stuff. Yeah. Actually, an example of that, which I know that Catherine is a fan of Friends, but are the rest of you?
I've seen Friends.
I watched it this weekend. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I feel like Friends is, I think all of you would agree, it's a highly successful show. It's pretty awesome. And I think one of the reasons for that is because it has a male and a female director. Like, they both collaborate in creating the script and, like, producing the shots and stuff. And I feel like that's a huge part of the reason for its success, because they have both female and male perspectives in creating the script. So they can kind of, like, hit both sides better, you know? Like, because if a guy is creating a film, like, I'm not saying a guy can't create a film for women, but I'm saying sometimes there are different perspectives that come from growing up as a woman or a male, and having both of those perspectives, like, play into creating a script, I think it's just, like, makes for a lot more strength in the script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, Lady Bird is about a relationship between a mother and daughter.
Yeah,
exactly. And so, like, her quote here is, I think women tend to focus on stories that men don't have the privilege of seeing, which is exactly like this movie.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And then last thing is Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
He hosted the Oscars, love him. And he brought up, even though this is not new news, he brought up in front of everyone the time that Mark Wahlberg this year made $1.5 million for shooting All the Money in the World. And Michelle Williams, who did the same reshoot, made $80 a day.
That's crazy.
Whoa.
$80 a day?
Yeah.
What?
She made around $1,000 or $80 a day, and Mark Wahlberg made $1.5 million.
A day?
That's what it says.
What?
No.
That can't be $80 a day.
That's what it says. Maybe $80,000? And he also said it in his speech yesterday.
$80
so it has to be,
for
right?
For one day?
That's what it said here, yeah.
I
but did Mark Wahlberg
that.
Make $1.5 million for the whole time?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Not a day.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And I don't know how many days they filmed.
Right.
Reshot. But still, I guarantee she did not make that much.
Hmm. That's crazy.
So after that, Mark Wahlberg actually donated the $1.5 million to the Time's Up movement, because he felt so much pressure and hatred from the media that he made that money. Lots of people are saying it's, like, not his fault that he negotiated that much and he's a bigger name actor and stuff like that. But
It's probably up to his, like, management team.
Okay, they have the same agency.
Okay. So then that's a problem within the agency.
And the agency donated $500,000 to the fund as well. Idiots. Because of the negative media that they were getting.
Hmm. Is that maybe anything to do with him being, like, a bigger name actor?
Yeah, that's what people are saying. But the gap is huge, though.
Well, we learned about it in advertising, about how there's everybody, depending on, like, what celebrity it is, they have, like, a higher expense over others. Like, Tom Hanks is, like, the biggest one.
Because he's, like, so loved.
Oh, my God. He's so loved. I love him. But, yeah, so maybe that's probably why they negotiate. But, like, that's a huge separation in salary. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I would like to know how much she made for the whole thing. But, like, I guarantee it wasn't that much. So do you guys think he should have donated it? Or do you think he deserved to keep it?
Well, I don't think it's his fault that he got that money, but
no,
that's cool that he did donate it.
Yeah, shows a lot about the person he is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think it's kind of funny that like Jimmy Kimmel brought it up.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I know it's not brand new news, like, this happened way earlier this year.
I didn't hear about it.
Yeah,
but yeah, he brought it up in front of everyone, I guess, just as a shock factor.
Well, to tie into that and today's topic, so my article, I interviewed women and it kind of explored what it's like to be a mom in the trades, and or what it was like being pregnant, that kind of thing. But one of the ladies I spoke to, her name's Lori Garrett, and she is an owner, the owner of North Perimeter Construction Limited. So she owns her own company, but she kind of had this crazy path to get there, and she ended up working for the city of Winnipeg for a little while, and she was actually paid $14,000 less than her male counterpart, who did the exact same thing
did
she
you
did.
Say this last?
I mentioned this last podcast, but because Lori's also an engineer, so she's educated, and she had, you know, her same degree as this man, but she also had 10 years work experience on him because she had been in the industry longer and stuff. And yeah, she was paid 14 grand less. Like, when she told me that, I could not believe it.
That's crazy.
And yeah, I think
did she do anything about that?
I think she took it to the union, and at first they said there wasn't much they could do. And then she ended up, I don't know if she complained.
I feel like that's hard because you don't want to look bad in front of everyone and be the complainer.
But that's a significant amount of money. But then it's
like you have to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
But you don't want, like, your work to be upset with you either and make every day awkward.
Yeah, like, I think she was going to start, like, to fight it, and then she ended up going, you know what, like, I don't – she just decided to leave the city, which, yeah, is unfortunate because you shouldn't – that just shouldn't happen, right?
Is she gone now since you interviewed her? Is that what you're saying? Like, she left?
No, like, oh, okay. This was, like, a couple years back. Like, okay. I don't have the exact year in front of me, but that – she's now been at her company for a while now, but that was I thought that was crazy.
Okay, well, $14,000 is a lot of money. Like, if there's a gap of $1,000 or $2,000, it's like, okay, yeah, it still sucks, but like $14,000
for ridiculous. The exact same credentials, and she technically had more work experience than him, so that's fishy.
Yeah,
that's
nuts.
Like, that's
Wait, but how did she end up getting the salary of the other worker? Like, how would you know that?
I don't know.
Unless she, I guess, asked him.
It's possible he told her, or he told someone who told her.
That's really annoying.
Yeah, she didn't tell me. I'm not too sure, but yeah.
Is that what made her want to start her own company?
Well, the company is like was in the family, so her parents owned it, and then when they retired, she ended up taking it on. She started there, and when she got pregnant, she found she was being treated differently by her own family. And left the company.
And when I got back, my dad treated me different as well. I was a mom now, and I guess it was just different priorities, and I ended up leaving the company.
Okay.
I ended up leaving in 2009 or 10, I can't remember now. And I went and worked for the government, thinking that would be a good place to go as a, you know, a mom and that kind of stuff. And I think it's more dependent on who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Because instead of when they told me, well, we need you to be out on Highway 75 at 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. every day, instead of me saying I can't, I found a way to do it. Because I didn't want to be treated like, you know, I didn't want people to say, well, a man could do it.
Yeah.
Why can't you? Or, right. You know, people without children can do it. Why can't you? So I made sure I could do it. And it was hell. And
that was with your daughter, when you had your daughter?
Yeah, she was a year old.
A year.
Yeah, she was a year old, and I was gone from 7 to 7 every day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really hard, and my my mom had to help out, and my sister had to help out, and I didn't have the most supportive spouse at the time, so that was tough, but I did what I had to do, what I thought I had to do.
Right. Right?
So.
Right.
And, of course, they were always willing to promote me and do anything that... because I did that stuff.
Right.
So had I not done that stuff, I don't know how different they would have looked at me. I don't know if they would have thought differently or not ever been willing to promote me or, you know, give me the pats on the back or send me on the training that I asked for or anything like that.
When Lori got pregnant, had her kid, came back only 3 months after her baby was born.
Whoa.
And she was going to work twice a week. So, I mean, not full time, but still, that's like ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then after 6 months, she was back working full time.
And this is construction work?
This is, she was doing, I think at the time, like more project management. She wasn't back on site. She was doing stuff around the office.
Oh, okay.
She was working on site before she got pregnant, but still in the construction business though. And she actually said to me, she said that she felt she didn't bond with her daughter as much right away because she was away for so long. They didn't get all that time together. Right.
But like, did she have to go back?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
But she told me that she felt she would be seen differently if she didn't.
And I think a lot of people feel like that.
So she felt like she had to. And she says now that she regrets it. But she felt compelled. Like she felt like she would just be looked at differently if she didn't go back right away.
Mm-hmm. How did her family treat her differently when she was pregnant?
Specifics, like I'm not too sure. But she said like she made it, they made her feel kind of like, she was just like, she was a different person now that she was pregnant.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of how she put it. Like, she didn't really give me tons of specifics, but
yeah.
I mean, for her own family to treat her differently or her, yeah, like it's unfortunate. It's really too bad. Yeah. So
I feel like a lot of women just want to be treated like the guys when you're in like a male dominated workplace. And so like you will go back early or anything just to be like not different.
Mm-hmm.
But that sucks.
So, okay. Let's pose this question, because none of us are parents, right?
I hope not, unless for myself. God, I hope not.
Yeah, so we don't have kids, but...
I can't even take care of
plants. I feel like you would know if you were. You
me too.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
But, so if you guys, like, do you think you would want to take, like, your maternity leave, even if... Like, do you think people would think of you differently if you did? Just take a regular maternity leave?
Where are we working? Just
like
just
right now. Right now, what is a maternity leave? It's a year and a half, right?
I think it's a year.
I think it's just a year.
I think it's a year?
Just 1 year.
They're trying to move it up, I think, but right now
I thought I heard it did go up. I don't know why I heard that. Why I thought, like, I thought it was 18 months.
Well, either way, at least a year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would want to take that time. I would take it, yeah. I wouldn't really be that... I wouldn't care what anybody thought. I'd be like, sweet, 18 months. Like, I don't know.
I would take it in a heartbeat, for sure. Yeah, totally.
Well, I think I would, too, but I guess it's different because we're not in a job.
A lot of, a lot of people are doing... The guy is taking half and the woman's taking half. The woman will take the first half and the guy will take the second half.
Mm,
it's definitely a situation thing. Like, depending what your situation's like, if you would...
Yeah. But the thing
want to take that whole year.
I honestly think, though, like, I mean, I don't really know any men that have taken paternity leave.
Women can do anything men can do.
But when people talk about it, it seems like, oh, if a woman takes it, okay, whatever. But if a man does, it's like, oh, wow, that's so great.
Yeah.
You're taking the time to go help your kid. You're going to do housework.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are they getting these, like, claps for doing, like, what they probably should be doing at home and helping out with anyway?
They've never done before.
Right? Because it's like, oh, you're a dude and you're going to go and... It's interesting because I think there is that kind of divide there. And Lori talked a bit about that, too. She said she feels like... You know, men get the pats on the back when they pick the kids up from school or do the dishes. It's like, well, you know,
but it's a little bit the same as women working in trades getting patted on the back. It's about breaking stereotypes. I think that's part of the pat on the back, right? Is like, wow, I'm so proud of you for like representing women in trades. And if men are staying home, like, wow, I'm really proud of you for representing, you know, stay-at-home dads.
Yeah, that's true.
But wouldn't
true.
You say there's a little bit more resistant toward girls getting into or women getting into trades versus like guys doing like things around the house or like helping out with the kids,
but not just
obviously that would be a positive thing.
Yeah, but not just helping out around the house. Like, what about full-time stay-at-home dads? Like, what about in families where the women actually are the breadwinners and go to work and the dad is the one that's staying home? Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I feel like some guys might get shit for taking paternity leaves.
Yeah.
So I'm 26. My friend told me at Christmas that she was pregnant. But she has 3 months left before she graduates with her master's.
Hmm.
And so her boyfriend is taking the mat leave.
Okay.
Because she's just working as a server. So she'd get like nothing. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, wow. That's true.
Yeah. So he's, yeah. So
In the
he's pretty excited about it too.
That's so I would be.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think I don't think it's a bad thing. I think there still is some of that like like, you know, you're taking it like
Do you guys know how long your moms took when they had you or if they took any at all? Because I know my mom like went back to work full time 6 months after she had me.
Oh, wow. She did.
Yeah.
I think mine took the full mat leave, but I'm also a twin, so I don't know. She probably needed time.
Yeah, she has double the
double the responsibility.
Yeah.
I think mine took the full. I'm pretty sure. I don't know what that was, if it's changed since then, but
I know that the 6 months was short, I think.
Yeah.
Because she said that she just couldn't stay at home anymore with me. That she just like wanted to be back at work.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
I feel like women also shouldn't be like, you know, shaking a finger at if they don't take the full one. But it's tough. There's kind of like that, I don't know, double standard there.
I feel like I'd probably get a little stir crazy if I was at home with a baby for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think I would definitely want to switch off with my partner.
I'm not even like a cleaner by nature. Like of course I'll clean and stuff, but it's not something I'm good at. Like I'd much rather be like creative. Like I don't know. I don't think I could just stay home all day and
clean.
Not like that's all I'd be doing, but like
It is a lot.
You'd be it's maintenance like constantly because like the baby is always needing to do something.
Yeah, I think it's trying to find balance.
My mom always tells me my maternal instinct will kick in eventually, but like, oh my gosh. I know this is not a therapy session, but
like, it could be if you want it to be. Just kidding.
I think it's like about the balance because again, so Lori, right, went back after 6 months. When her daughter was one, she was working for the province of Manitoba, and she was working on site. They were redoing Highway 75, and she was working from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day.
That's crazy.
That's a 12-hour day with a one-year-old. So
that would be tough.
And she said there were some nights when she had to work through the night. Wow. So or some shifts where she had to work like overnights. So that, I think that would be tough.
Did she tell you how she was able to juggle everything?
With that one, I actually don't know if I asked her who like watched her kid for her. I know she mentioned her sister. She has a younger sister who will like pick up her kid and help her out. Like she was really good.
That's good.
Being helpful. So at least she had some support, but at that point, like, she was still with her husband, but they ended up separating a little bit later on. But it sounded like it was tough on her. And again, she felt like, you know, felt like she had to do it. And one of the things she said to me, and this is a quote, she said, like, I found a way to do it. I didn't want people to say, well, a man can do it. Why can't you? People without children can do it. Why can't you? So she just felt this pressure, like she had to, you know.
But it's kind of like CRECOM because some people have kids and then I complain about like working once a week and I'm like, oh, I feel like I shouldn't complain about that when you have to go home and like look after a kid.
Are there people in CRECOM that are parents?
Yeah. That tough. I was with last year, a couple.
Okay.
More than one.
Wow. Yeah. Well, even when we fostered puppies at my house a couple weeks ago, and like it was only for 2 weeks, and they were so cute, but by the end of the 2 weeks, I was like, they need to go back. Yeah,
that's a lot of work. You have to like feed and clean them, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They pooped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure babies do too.
Yeah, like one of the things that they kept talking about, like all the women I interviewed, was like balance, trying to find like that balance between work life, family life. Like I interviewed another lady named Terry, and she works for Park West Projects as a safety coordinator, and that's actually also a family business, which is kind of interesting. But she was saying that it's a lot of balance and just trying to. She leans a lot on her husband too, so I think if you have that support, it helps. And they actually work together, which is kind of interesting too. But I still think from what these women said, Lori more than Terry, but she still felt like she got treated differently for being a woman in the trades and with kids. Whereas Terry actually said that she felt some of the men, when she was pregnant especially, were more, like, worried about her. So she had a bit of a different experience, but...
Did she like that they were more worried about her, or did she find that, like, annoying?
I think she thought, it, like, she didn't take issue with it. It was more just, like, she could tell they were, like, cared and concerned and were like, oh, like, you know, don't overdo it.
Yeah.
But that's, again, the tricky part. It's like, are they saying, oh, you can't do it as a pregnant woman, or...
I think that's a good thing if guys do that. Like, if guys are looking out for a woman, right? I think so, too.
Absolutely.
Like, if a woman is pregnant working a tough job, like, if a guy comes up and is like, hey, you know what, like, don't carry that, I'll carry that for you. Like, maybe you'd feel bad as a woman because you're like, oh, am I more of a nuisance, you know, here? But I don't know. At the same time, like, I don't think that you should ever get mad at a guy for still treating you like a pregnant woman if you are a pregnant woman.
Exactly, like, right?
I don't know.
And that's where the debate comes in, because I feel like some women might take offense to that and be like, wow, like, you think I can't do it? Whereas some would be like, yeah, you know what? My back is really sore and I shouldn't be lifting that, so thank you.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
I wonder what it's going to be like for us if everyone, you know, if people choose to have kids, and not that we're all going to, not that we're going to work in the trades, but.
We might.
I mean, we might, so. I feel like it's.
I'm excited for Mat Leave already. I can't wait. Looking forward to it. I'm like, terrified of giving birth, but I feel like the year and a half will be nice. Well, it'll probably be hell.
Just as much work, yeah.
For, like, the beginning. But, like, you know when they hit, like, the one? You know, and then they kind of, like, they go to sleep, they nap and stuff, and they're, like, a little bit better. Like, I love newborns, so, like, I think I'll be okay. When they become, like, seven, they're going to be, like, the worst human beings.
Oh, see, I feel opposite. I feel like newborns are so unpredictable. You're, like, going to be up all night with them. But 7 years old, like, they probably have a bit of a sleep schedule. You can at least tell them stuff, and they'll understand you when you're giving them rules.
True, but when they're seven, then they're, like, smart. But, like, then they start to talk back, and then I have to be smarter than them. And what if I'm tired and I can't?
What if also, they listen?
If they're babies, they can't say anything.
They're going to be my kid. They're definitely not going to be easy. Like, I wasn't easy. Especially if it's with, like, my current boyfriend, maybe. We'll see. But if it is, then they're going to be, like, literally Satan.
I just really don't want to have twins. Like, I do not want.
Hey, do twins have twins? That. Or, like, how does that work? I thought it skipped, like, a generation.
I hope so.
No, I don't think so.
It usually skips a generation. Like, that's, like... I can't have my stomach stretch. Like, I know that sounds so bad.
But it's...
My mom's stomach was, like, saran wrapped, and she had, like, so many...
Stretch marks.
Okay, why saran wrapped? What do you mean? Why?
So, like, before she went into labor, like, her stomach was so big. Like, they have pictures of her, like, this, and they had to wrap it because... Just to help support for the skin to help.
Oh my god,
that's crazy.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just like pushing down and it hurts a lot. I think that's pretty common when you have more than one baby.
It's like duct tape. Like, you like duct taped it so the support
so wait up. They saran it after she had you, meaning?
No, before. A couple days before.
Really?
It's crazy.
Yeah, because I guess the pain was like too much moving term. Around with such a big belly,
right?
With like two kids in you.
Yeah, that's...
Because they're, like, full-term babies, too, right? So they're pretty big.
What if
they're,
like, triplets?
But do you ever think about, like, the octuplets or, like, sextuplets?
Yes. How does that even... How is that possible?
John and Kate, they usually all come out preemie because, like, you can't take them to full term.
Yeah.
But, like, six bodies? Holy crap.
Like, you probably have to, like, would you literally have to use a wheelchair to get around, do you think? Like, is it possible?
It'd probably be easier,
Probably, like, hurt your back so much.
And also, like, when you're having twins or anything like that, or any, just a single baby, I mean, your ankles swell up, too. So, like, it's really hard to walk around. Like, that's why you, like, waddle. So, like, my mom had two, and her ankles were huge. She was in a wheelchair when she went to the hospital.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's common, but...
Are you an identical twin, or...
No, he is a guy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and we're like the most opposite people in the world, and we look opposite. He has black hair and he's 6'2".
Black hair.
Yeah, and he's like super athletic, and I walk like a penguin, and I have blonde hair. And
but do you guys like get along? Like, do you guys have that whole like twin telepathy thing?
Like, I think he has really bad ADHD, and I am so calm all the time. So I think, like, I always know when he's up to something, and he knows that I know.
That's funny.
But that's about it. That we're not the same or anything like that at all.
I might have twins because in my mom's family, there was, like, my grandma had twins, and because they skip a generation, so
I gotta be kind of prepared
for that.
Are twins becoming more common? Like, I feel like lots of people are twins now.
It's a new fad. I get on the twin train.
I realize that we are off topic right now, but...
Or three,
well, it's kind of, you know, it's in the topic of mothers and
Kylie Jenner posted a first body shot after having her kid. She looks bomb.
Yeah, she's already probably...
But, like, she's also 20, so your body bounces back.
Isn't that her job, though, to, like... look good, like,
yeah, and probably, apparently like, she has like four like, nannies looking after her kid.
Four nannies, why
I honestly pulled that number out of nowhere, but but it said more than one when I read it.
That's wild. That's the thing, when you're rich like that, you don't even have to take, like, she's probably been working out 12 hours a day, like a real, like a mother with well my amount of funds, I probably wouldn't, like, I wouldn't be able to afford working out.
But like, you're also young and skinny, so I think you would bounce back, but a lot of older people couldn't.
When she was pregnant with Stormy, she was she gained 35 pounds.
Yeah,
so she did put on like quite a bit of weight. I mean, I don't know how much Stormy weighed when she was born, but
actually the baby's quite cute.
Baby's super cute. Oh, and when you breastfeed, I don't know if she's breastfeeding, but when you breastfeed, it actually like burns major calories.
What?
Nice. Yeah, it helps with fat burn. Really? Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's because your body's like producing milk, so it's like burning off calories.
Why do people choose not to breastfeed? Just like if they can't, or
If they can't produce milk, or if they don't want to, if it's gonna be like. Also, a big strain.
Yeah, and also, like, if you go back onto birth control, it'll totally get rid of your milk supply. Mm. So if women are, like, worried about getting pregnant right away, I mean, you can only get pregnant so long after you have a baby. Like, you can only get pregnant, like, a few months after you've had your baby. But if they're worried about it, like, and they go back on birth control, then it could totally mess up their natural process.
Yeah, my friend that got pregnant, she had an IUD, and so.
What?
Yep.
She got pregnant with an IUD?
Yep. She just got it in a year ago. It's supposed to last 4 years.
Can you imagine
years.
How fertile she is? That's ridiculous. Because that's like, that like literally never happens.
Yeah,
like,
it happened. They had to go in surgery and remove it after she found out she was pregnant. And the doctor said, congratulations, you're the lucky statistic, like one in however many.
A million.
Oh my gosh.
That's wow. Like crying. Sorry, I should not be telling this personal information, but
we don't know who it is. Yeah. It's fine.
I went to the doctor's the other day just to get the checkup, and I saw like the birth control poster, and it was like IUD, and I was like, no, you should not be like telling people to get that.
Well, because it can be super dangerous.
Absolutely.
To have an IUD in and get pregnant.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes they have like pictures of the baby holding the IUD in the belly.
Oh my god,
I've seen those.
What?
Like, that's gotta be photoshopped.
Yeah, that has to be photoshopped.
That's gonna be like a PSA. My friend found it. There's like other people that this has happened to.
What?
Oh. Saying, stick to a regular form of birth control.
Okay, but my friend even has birth control IUD. Doesn't work all the time.
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but it's less like crazy if it happens. Well,
but like some people can't take birth control. Mm-hmm. Like my friend, she just couldn't take the pill because I don't even know why, but some health reason. So she had to do that. So I guess if you have no choice, then.
And then it doesn't freaking work.
Yeah. Whoa. And it's just dangerous. Like.
Yeah.
Having that in after.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Yeah. Well, it's dangerous for the baby.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
A lot of times, like when they go in to remove it. Then you can have like a miscarriage just by accident. Yeah. Oof.
If you guys were working, I was just thinking about this. If you guys were pregnant and you guys were working, like you were working in construction or let's say like a more physical, like some kind of physical trade, like how long would you wait until you left work? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you started getting a belly and it started affecting, even like the way you walk and stuff, you'd think you would obviously stop working, but like how long would you allow yourself to work at a job like that being pregnant?
That's so hard to say without being in the situation.
Yeah, I feel like if I was making a lot of money, I would I would leave around, like, I would leave work earlier, but if I needed the money, I would stay. Maybe.
I think it, if I was starting to feel unsafe, then I would probably pull the plug and go on mat leave, because it all depends. It's so dependent on the job, because, like, if you're... if you're like Ruby, one of the ladies interviewed, Boilermaker, she was working on these big job sites where they're building these massive, don't really know the word, I don't think they were boilers, but you can imagine just like hundreds of feet wide, these like cylindrical tubes where they'd store like liquid or different things, right? And she'd say, you know, you'd have welders and stuff, and they'd go up on like the scaffolding or get them rigged up with their pulley system to get high up there. So if you were pregnant and the person that had to be lifted up there to weld around like the circular thing, if you're 6 months pregnant, like, are you gonna do that? Are you gonna get in a harness?
No,
you know. So I think it would depend on the job. And if I personally felt unsafe, and like if I was putting myself at risk for too much strain or something, then because I think you gotta do what you feel is better for you.
When I interviewed Christina Thiessen, like, she's a steam fitter, she got pregnant, I think, I don't know how many years into working. She started steam fitting when she was 26, and then she got pregnant, I think, when she was maybe like early 30s. And she actually had her job changed. Like, she was working out installing sprinkler systems, and like, she said it's a hard job. Like, it's dirty work. It's hot, sweaty, like, whatever you want to call it. She actually got put in an office job at the same company throughout her pregnancy, which I thought was a really cool way of accommodating her and like allowing her to continue working there while she was pregnant, but like giving her, I don't know, like an easier job in a sense. Like, she did not seem insulted by that in the least. Like, she said it was really nice to be able to keep working and not feel like she was at risk.
That's funny that you say that, because I was just about to say I'd probably work until I couldn't work anymore, but I would work in the office, like ask what I could do in the office. Because there's always other jobs, like they can always put you somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, I don't know, because I don't know how maternity leave works, but I feel like if you left earlier, it would take away from the end. So like, you would just start it like earlier.
No,
right?
Yeah, that just means that you go back earlier.
So yeah, like wherever so, like, you start, I you think get I'd your probably year. Want like as much time with like the human baby than I would like with like just the belly.
The human baby.
I don't know. Like the finished product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so ready to be a mom.
Clearly. The human baby.
The finished.
It is a human, right?
Hopefully. God. Can you imagine like giving birth and it's like something completely different?
Whoa. Okay.
Some alien. Yeah, like alien movie business coming out.
Okay.
So Lori mentioned to me that in the future, she thinks that improvements with childcare and, you know, accessibility to childcare could really improve the workplace for women. Like, maybe if they had, you know, daycares in different workplaces, like, you know, big businesses downtown, those like high rises, like what if they had a daycare downstairs or something? So like, what do you guys think? Do you think it's important? Would it be important to you to keep working, you know, once you're a mom and... You know,
be able to like drop our kids off at daycare?
Yeah, like, do you think that'd be helpful, or, you know, would people again be like, oh, like, why is this special treatment, or I don't know.
I think that would be super awesome. Like, that's actually a great idea. I mean, I don't know how many businesses can afford to do full-time daycare, like, for their staff. And, I mean, if it's going to save them money, then hiring men to do the job because women are, you know what I mean? Because they don't want to pay for daycare for women's children, which I feel like is maybe discriminatory in a way. But, I don't know, that would be super helpful. I mean, it's just like at Red River College, how they have, like, daycares for students, you know? Like, it really does encourage people to go into school, and as it would, I think, encourage people, women, to go into trades if they knew that, okay, well, I want to go into trades, but I also would like to have kids in 3 or 4 years. How is that going to affect my career? If they know, like, oh, look at all these businesses that offer, like, daycares, offer maybe extra benefits, like, I don't know, I think that'd be a pretty big plus.
Yeah, I even think, like, if companies like you were saying, like downtown businesses and stuff, like if there was like a daycare in a building,
like, that would be really great, because then even people in the surrounding area could drop off their kids there. Or even if there could be some type of system where it was, like, worked into your pay, so, like, you were paying for daycare right straight out of your pay, because then, you know, like, that would be super convenient. But I just think, like, there definitely needs to be some type of, like, improvement within the daycare, because, like, it's hard, because then you have to think about what time you're going to drop them off, when you're going to pick them up, all those things. If they're at work with you, then if anything goes wrong, you're right there.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more convenient. And you can, like, go and check up on them during the day, and, like, you have that extra, like, attachment to them. Whereas if, like, that they're somewhere, like, separate where you can't get to them because you're working, like, that makes it a lot easier, I think.
And that's one of the things Lori mentioned about, like, being close to them. You know, these moms or dads, for that matter, you know, if they have the daycare at their business, whatever, they could even go visit them at lunchtime if they want. And they're probably going to be more productive knowing their kids, like, fine, and they'll just go pick them up later, and they're not going to have to worry about, oh, I have only have, you know, this much time, and I got to pick them up and do this and that. Like, some of the stress is taken off, and they can potentially be more productive at their job. And, like, wouldn't you want your employees to feel better? Because they'll just work better, probably, right?
Yeah.
And you can also think about, like, the relationship that they can build with the workers that work at the daycare, because they work in the same company as you. So, like, you know them and you know how they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the trust between the two would probably be a lot greater.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. What about you guys, Sam and Haley? Like, what do you guys think you would do? Like, would that help you? Like, would that encourage you to go into trades, knowing that there were benefits like that?
I think it's so hard for me to think what I would feel like with a child, but
that's
like
fair.
It's such a stretch for me, which is crazy because I'm probably the oldest here.
Not by much.
I think it's great that they would have that. I think it would be so, like, it's such an easier decision because people look for months to find the right daycare, months, and then there's, like, one spot available.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, people, like, because I've just seen it with even my cousins and stuff, they looked for, like, 6 months for an actual credible daycare.
That's a long time.
Where they felt comfortable. And, well, she's a little, you know.
The only thing that might be tricky, though, like, if you have a small company, like, the daycare would probably be really tiny, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be tough.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Like, depends on the business.
Yeah.
But if you could afford that as a business, like, I think that'd be a great benefit for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would be awesome if everyone could do that.
Yeah, like, if you can, for sure.
Yes, definitely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Or even, like, a lot of these businesses, like, are in the same area, like, in a very industrial area. So there could always just be one between all these companies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, a communal daycare would be good so idea. Awesome.
Yeah. The thing is, yeah, it would have to be a pretty big construction or just, like, trades business to have big enough offices or, like, office space to have a daycare. Because if I'm thinking, like, my uncle owns a construction business, but their building that they use for their offices is pretty small because the amount of paperwork and stuff that needs to get done, they don't need a ton of space for that, right? Like, the work happens on the job site. So it is also hard to figure out for a lot of companies what that would look like, right? For them to go out of their way to do that.
True.
For women.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, the dream, but imagine a regular daycare and a doggy daycare and your building. You come to work with the kid, the dog, and you can see them all day.
Maybe someday it'll happen.
Yep.
Probably not. Sounds nice.
Probably not.
What other things do you guys think, like, okay, I'm going to say, like, for each of you guys, what would be the biggest encouragement or, like, thing that would need to happen in trades for you to consider a career as a woman in trades? Like, what is the biggest influencer for you guys?
I feel like the biggest thing, which is also the hardest struggle right now, is just to have more women in trades. Like, I would feel more comfortable doing that, working with a bunch of women.
Yeah.
I think that's just the biggest thing. But then that's the struggle. You need more women to get more women involved.
And it's just, so, like, it's self-perpetuating. Yeah, exactly.
So if somehow we could solve that, then that would solve, like, so much, I think.
So in order to get more women into trades, we need more women in trades.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. Because that's Yeah. I agree with that.
But how do you get more women into trades?
Yeah, like, where do you start?
You start with the women already in trades.
I think for me, it's having more experience because I've never tried, like, half those things, so I have no idea if I'd like them or not. Mm-hmm. So if I had that experience in high school in a trades workshop or whatever, then...
So being able to have a trial experience in trades surrounded maybe by other women who are at the same place as you are, like, who are all looking for that experience as well, is maybe, like, a really good option, you know, for people to do. Like, hold women's beginners workshops for welding, for steam fitting, for, like, all these bizarre kind of jobs they would never get a chance to try otherwise, and surrounded by other women so they don't feel, like, intimidated. They don't feel like they're the only one in their boat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I also think, like, for me, I think that the trades are really cool, and I would, like, I think at one point in my life when I was younger, I probably would be more open to it now, like, then than I am now, because just, like, the lifestyle that comes along with being in trades is really tough. Like, it's very physical, it's long hours, like, it's demanding in a different way than other jobs are, and for that reason, I don't think I'd want to be in trades. But, yeah. like, if, like, the hours were a little bit less crazy, because, like, my dad will work from, like, 5 a.m. and he'll come home at, like, 8 p.m. or, like, later if it's in the summer, because, like, they need all the time they can get.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, that's not the life that I wanted. Yeah. So, like, I just don't think I could do that. But, I mean, you can't really change that in trades. Like, that's just that's how it is.
Yeah. But they get paid quite a bit to do that.
They do. At least. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up our final Women in Trades podcast.
Yay.
Yeah.
Or maybe sad face.
We had some good conversations, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was some good talks.
I think so, too.
So
it was fun to explore something that I feel like none of us really knew much about before.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, super interesting.
I feel like now if somebody ever talked to me about women in trades, or if a tradeswoman even talked to me, I feel like I could talk to them about, like, some you know, solid conversation piece. Like, you know, I could talk to them about some stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah. Signing out.
Signing out.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sydney.
And I'm Kat.
I'm Haley.
I'm Sam.
And
see you out on the field
someday.
Bye.